Good morning and welcome to another Thursday episode of Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. Are we live? Yes, we are. Look at that. Magic. And Pumi Mashiko's here. Hello, Pums. How are you? Well, it's a good Thursday. It's also the start of May. Yesterday was the first of a brand new month, and we are officially in winter now. Hence the fact that Pumi and I... Pumi and I are like wrapped up warm and tight and, you know, all that stuff this morning.
And it used to be that in these big studios, all these lights would keep you warm.
Definitely.
Now they don't.
You know why? Because they're LEDs.
They're all LEDs. They have no warmth coming out of them whatsoever. So no. We're in this cavernous studio in our jerseys. I'm going to also because this desk is closed here. I might have to bring a blanket.
A little blanket.
I might have to bring a little blanket for my knees.
A knee blanket. Like every old lady in the world wants and every old lady in the world has.
I in my office, which is also freezing because it has absolutely no direct sunshine in it.
Yeah.
In Rosebank, and it's in a wind tunnel. It's a nightmare.
But
I do have a little blanket, which used to be my grandmother's. So when my grandmother passed away, I took her little... knee blanket. It lives in my office now.
Okay, so you inherited a knee blanket. Now it's even older. We have lots to get to this morning. There's plenty to talk about. We are going to get to the burning platform a little later on. I'm a little disappointed but completely unsurprised that our guest who would have been here with us this morning, Panyaza Lesufi, is not here. So we're going to have to deal with a spokesperson of some kind. Fine.
One more disappointment.
Yeah, well, the ANC just cannot stop disappointing us. But anyway, I mean...
Have you seen their billboards?
Which ones? Because they're all over
billboard.
Now.
There's a very long billboard that my niece and I, Kanego and Zotile and I, drove past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so badly designed. On the one end is a picture of Cyril, and then on the far end is, I don't know what their line is this year, but there's a whole big space in the middle with nothing, just like green, black, and yellow. And I complaining about the design with the kids. And Zotile was so funny. She just said, all that space in between is all the work they should have been doing because there's nothing there.
Yeah, well, that's a...
And she's a first-time voter.
But that's a very sharp assessment.
From a first-time voter,
design. Yeah, I
18-year-old.
Like that. That's very good. I'm very impressed with her. I think she should be our political analyst, our chief political analyst right here on the show. All right, so we've got a couple of things to talk about before we get into the politics of things. And one of those is an interesting event that Pumi invited me to on Tuesday.
Bless you.
Oh, my God. Great.
Woo.
Oh my God. You see, winter. First day of winter, and this is what happens. Telling you. Anyway, Pumi invited me to a really interesting event on Tuesday. I was sitting at home and she said to me, "Listen, what are you doing?
Just come."
And I thought, hell yes, I'm gonna go.
Part of it is also because I also kind of like just said, "Oh, I'm gonna come to this."
Absolutely.
And I'm bringing cameras.
So we went along to Freedom Park, which I have seen before, unlike many of the people who were there. And there's the weird detour road that takes you there now because they're doing road works in the center of Pretoria. But we went to Thabo Mbeki's lecture.
A public lecture.
Which ended up being a public thrashing. He just set fire to everything. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I mean, Freedom Park is really actually a beautiful place to go and see. If you haven't been there before, if you haven't seen what they were put up there, it's one of the few, I'm sad to say, monuments... memorials or national sites that has been built since 94 to commemorate things in, you know, our capital city. And it's got a beautiful view across the rest of the city.
Does.
It's got really lovely buildings and grounds. And someone said to me they once went there and Thabo Mbeki was busy taking pictures there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Just wandering around as an ordinary citizen.
Well, it is also... You know that there's a big wall of remembrance that's got all the, well, most of the names of people who died during the kind of anti-apartheid movement, and from all over the world. So it's got France, Germany, there are people who died in all of those places. And you know, there is still an ongoing project to repatriate bodies of people who died overseas in all these various countries. And they put them all up there.
Yeah.
Yasser Arafat is
He's
also
on there
up
as well.
There.
Wow, Yasser Arafat too, hey? Anyway,
Friends of the Struggle.
Thabo made a very, very impassioned speech, and he's not really an emotional guy. I mean, he went through a lot of statistics, but basically reminded us, for those of us who are not actually aware, how well we were doing at a certain stage, which must have annoyed many of the people in the present ANC. But he did give them a few off ramps along the way. You know, he was like, Cyril's trying to do this, and he's just appointed this one, and that's going on. Clearly, he's been asked to come in and help because they're in dire straits.
Yeah.
And he's still got cred. So he stood up there and he told the story of his presidency in numbers, because the numbers are impressive.
Of two South Africans. Remember,
he And as I said in a tweet, you know, he's the guy who founded the African Renaissance as a subject, as an idea. Mm. And he's kind of undergoing his own renaissance at the moment. And I think he did a very, very good job of just reminding everyone of how well we were doing as a country and how well we could do as a country if we just had decent leadership. He, in a not-so-subtle way, used the IRR, the South African Institute of Race Relations, speech, which essentially said somewhere in the middle of it, the ANC has lost its brain. And I think, not so indirectly, he means himself. That's what he meant.
No.
They lost their brain. No, they did. And he was the brain of the ANC. Let's not mess around, right?
The ANC is a fascinating creature. Now that we're looking at it, I think somewhat coldly, 30 years into their having to shift gears from being a liberation movement to being a governing party. And it's wonderful to hear him say that a governing party and not a ruling party, because that's not what they are. And to watch that kind of gear shift, and he talked about it, right? So he talked about the three ages, them going into a third age now, which they are, as we watch all of this decline. But he also spoke about the role of the SACP in the organization and how what he termed as the SACP trying to kind of wrest power out of this organization and steer it into a particular way. And the fact that they are not, and we spoke about this because we've had Anthea on the show talking about the National Development Plan and whether it is it's a veering into a socialist movement, and him categorically stating that as a nationalist movement, which is what they are, African National Congress, they are not a communist proxy, and that they are not trying to become a socialist state. That was also a fascinating thing to watch.
The language, there's a lot of language there which is like straight out of Russia, like the counter-revolution, which he brought up. So, I mean,
the agent of counter-revolution?
Yeah. We don't want to go too much into the weeds here about this, but...
But I did ask, I got to ask a question.
You did?
I got
After
to ask
I
the
left,
question.
What was your question?
I got to ask a question because he spoke so much about counter-revolutionary agents in a not so veiled allusion to Jacob Zuma and his breaking of not just the party but the state.
Right.
And so I asked about the third term, because you remember one of the things going into that Polokwane conference with the ANC, and one of the things that I think was a big mistake for Thabo Mbeki was talking about kind of a devolution of power from the party and the government, and having a head of the party and the head of the government, instead of that being one person, as is currently Cyril. And so I asked him about that. You know, my favorite question is about succession planning and whether that was a failure, having that conversation, if it opened the door to counter-revolutionary agents.
What did he say?
He said he does not like the talk of succession planning because it feels like there's a group of people somewhere having a conversation about who to promote within the party instead of having people in the party working hard for the party and the ideals of the party and then being elevated.
Hmm. Seems like a bit of a sidestep to me. Anyway, he did have a go at Jacob Zuma and did call him a counter-revolutionary in all but name, said he was a wolf in sheep's clothing, and that was the moment at which the ANC kind of lost its direction. He also went into the detail around Eskom and what a disaster that's been, and said, listen, I have clean hands. We didn't do that.
He did. A little bit of revision of history there, or maybe a misremembering, deliberate misremembering.
Perhaps. I mean, I very clearly remember Alec Irwin, who was his then Minister of Public Enterprises, who was already screwing up electricity provision long before Thabo Mbeki was gone.
It was hectic to hear him. I mean, he did have a bit of a blowtorch in one hand.
Yes.
Because he also reminded us of Nomgcobo.
Yes.
Jiba and what happened at the NPA.
Right.
He spoke about Benning Glemeza.
Oh. Benning Glemeza.
Guys, find the interview. It's there were so many people shooting. I'm sure it's there somewhere in its totality.
Yeah, I also like the way he ended it. He ended it by bringing up the this tractat that the Afrikaners have all put together about how they want to be in South Africa, make a difference, improve the country, put their shoulders to the wheel, make sure things happen. And he said, this is the attitude all of us should take on when it comes to making South Africa great. So yeah, Thabo Mbeki. Good to see him back on the stage. And lots to talk about and think about when it comes to that.
Yeah, you know, but the one thing that watching him, even at his advanced age, hold it all together and still be inspiring, which is what I think we don't see from a lot of the leaders that we see every day, still want to be conciliatory, still want everybody moving in the same direction. He still wants that. That's why he quoted the IRR. Which
right, but the guy is he's a real leader, and also he's not one of those people who's going to pander and say all the things that people in the audience want to hear.
Hey, because you know? Some of the stuff it was still in that audience,
and there were a lot of and yeah. Anyway.
I loved the fact that he said to Mavuso Msimang, because remember he left.
Right.
To go join Racha Jardine, I think.
Yeah, and Mavuso Msimang was also the guy who introduced him.
He was the MC.
Event. Right.
And he reminded him that people like Mavuso here left. You shouldn't be leaving the organization. We must fix the organization, he says.
Right. Well, come on, man. They have zero hope, says Kevin. Takes 30 years just to begin a plan to head in a direction. NDR goals got us here, archaic and rudderless. Huge erection, says. Funny how all the ANC talk is about the party, nothing about South Africa. The struggle, my ass, it's all about power. You could say that. I'm so disappointed in Becky, says Carl. He said he would not campaign for the ANC, then he folded like a cheap suit. Well, yeah, I think he's been begged. But you must also remember for him, and for his legacy, this provides a unique opportunity for him to be heard again. And if you're a man who put his entire life into trying to deliver what he believed would be a better South Africa, both as head of government under Nelson Mandela and his own presidency, this gives him a chance to say what he's trying to get off his chest.
I actually want to find the speech because I do have it somewhere.
Okay, while you're looking for that, let me look at these comments quickly. And by the way, you can comment, join in on the show this morning, tell us what you're up to. I see lots of people up and about and busy this morning. as I said, the beginning of winter officially. So today is the day you can bring out those heaters and blankets and all those things.
The other thing that I think a lot of people don't hear when, a lot of people disregard in him saying what he said. And he's been, where he's been critical, and where he really has been on the side of the party is, if you consider, he started his speech by saying, this year I celebrate 68 years of membership of the ANC, having joined the Youth League at 13 and a half years old.
Yeah.
That's a long time. That's a long time for a person to suddenly kind of walk away.
No, it is. It is. But he's not walking away.
He's not.
Very much still on the stage. Okay, the Real Network logo on your screen looks much better. Thank you. We're trying to improve bit by bit every day, and there's lots that's still going to happen, but it's looking great. And then Stompy says, oh no, that was Stompy. There's another comment here that I liked. Morning. I see only nowadays you're hang on, I just had a brain fart. You are seeing ANC posters. Well, this is written very badly. Daryl's got like the, I don't know, this guy must have absolutely zero for grammar and spelling at school. I'd like to know, N-O-W, how they paid for them, because they cannot pay staff. Yeah, good question. I don't know. You must learn to spell, they'll learn to pay. Jesus. Winter starts with a, like a swing the door on a hurricane with me.
Hey.
I hate this. And I spent the whole day yesterday. It was such a great day. I did nothing. I woke up late. I had a nap in the afternoon.
Hug out with
I was wandering
Alice.
Around the house looking like completely like a slob. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't do anything. It was fantastic.
Whew. What a way to spend a day.
Well, especially workers' day, right?
For workers.
Yeah.
A day for workers.
Definitely. Winter officially begins 21st of June, Sugar. No, that's not true. That is winter solstice. That's the middle of winter. Don't put me and I good with calendars.
What?
Yeah.
Officially begins on the 21st of June.
Let's not forget Mr. AIDS denialist, says Paul. We all thought he was off his rails then. Yeah. We must bring Thabo Mbeki on the show, says Quiet Conversations. Well, part of the thing that he said at the Freedom Park talk is he said, he's been asked by so many people to do interviews, so he thought, let me rather just do this one and get all this stuff off my chest. So he did that. Carl says, I see the ANC have postponed winter until after the election in an attempt to garner more votes. It's going to be 27 degrees today.
Ooh, that's, although driving into the studio this morning, it's a hell of a freezing out there. Maybe later it'll be 27 degrees. Right now it's like,
we can only hope.
It's like 8 degrees or something ridiculous. That's why I'm in three layers.
Three layers. Okay. So, Pumi, you wanted to talk about something else here. Maybe the May Day celebrations that Cyril spoke at.
No,
he spoke about
13 degrees here in Sandton.
Okay. So, it's not warm. Universal basic income. What do you think of that as an idea? Because the president said... it'll be better than the 350 social relief of distress grant. How's that? SRD. He said workers asked for that to be extended until the introduction of the universal basic income. So they're going ahead with this. He's going to make it happen at some point.
I don't know if they're going to be able to make it happen. I think it requires a lot more than what they're saying. And this is why I'm sad Banyazla's not coming in today. Because he has a lot to answer for, I think, in terms of what he's been up to. They're not going to be able to make it. They also can't afford it.
Well, we can't afford it as a country, right?
They can't afford it. So I don't know how he thinks it's going to work.
Well, it's easy when you're playing with the house's money. And that's kind of what all these guys do. And then I see that Apple is working to fix an alarming iPhone issue. Apparently, Apple says it is trying to fix an issue that caused some iPhone alarms not to play a sound, giving slumbering users an unexpected lie-in. For many people, their phone is an indispensable alarm clock, and oversleepers turn to social media to vent. This happened last... Did it happen to you?
No. That's why I'm here.
One TikToker complained that they had set the like five alarms and they didn't go off. like five alarms. Apple's confirmed it is aware of the issue.
What is that setting like three alarms?
I do that.
Zotile does that. Zotile sets three alarms. She was at my house for...
I do it.
Why?
Because if you don't hear the first one, you know that the second one means you've got to get up.
How do you know it's the second one if you don't hear the first
one? Well, you might have heard the first one but thought, I'm going to go back to sleep.
What's wrong with your snooze button?
Then you have to press the button. Oh, and sometimes, God. When I wake up sometimes, I look at this stuff and I go, is that stop or snooze?
So
I don't even, when I come out of sleep, it's like I've woken up from a coma.
Really?
Oh, for the first 3 to 4 minutes, I'm like, I'm like a drug addict. I promise you, it takes me a long while for everything to switch on. Like, I think there's a little man who walks into my brain and he turns on the main switch. Then he switches on all the other lights. And only once he's got like the kettle boiling does he remember, oh, hell, I was meant to switch that one on as well. And then I sort of wake up slowly. Takes me a while.
Wow.
You're one of those people who get straight out of bed and you're ready?
Yeah.
No.
When the alarm goes off.
No, this morning I had to shower. And then only when I got out of the shower was I like slightly compos mentis. Takes me a while.
No, but look, there are days where I absolutely, absolutely struggle. But when the alarm goes off, guy, you don't have to get out of bed, but yeah, just wake up,
I can see a lot of people using this Apple issue
as an excuse.
Big time. You're going to see people arriving at work this week going, I'm so sorry, I'm 3 hours late. It was my iPhone alarm. Please.
But this is the thing that I think this is the thing about working from home for a lot of people. That's why so many people love the idea of working from home.
Right.
Because you
no one can watch you. No one can see that you're not working. People will always default to lazy, right?
Lazy. Maybe it's just that it's not our human like setting to be like squirreling. We're not like squirrels.
No, we should wake up when the sun comes up. That's what we should do.
Yeah, we should wake up when the sun comes up. Have a little. But this is what AI is going to give us,
little
guys.
Little good morning sneezing and coughing fit from me.
This is what AI is going to give us, though. It's going to give us more time.
No more sinus.
It's going to give us more time. More time to do things that we absolutely love, because all of the other stuff can be automated and relegated to AI. It's always been when you watch all the robots on Star Wars do all of these
droids.
Menial things.
We need droids.
They're coming.
Bring us
they're
droids.
Coming.
Okay, then I see there's quite a lot of noise around all those protests that have happened on US college campuses. Have you seen all of this?
I've seen some.
So what I find so funny is that they're now taking down these encampments, right? So all these would-be revolutionaries, all these brats who have struggle envy are now having...
I did see...
They're the shelters removed by bulldozers.
I did see a... I think on TikTok, on someone's TikTok, one of the students, they were demanding food or something. Food,
yeah.
And I was like... This is protest, kids.
I think I saw the same thing. It's this woman who's, she's like, well, we've occupied this building. And she says, but now it really is the university's responsibility to allow like Uber Eats through so that we can have our meals. You're like, really? This is a revolution? Huh? You believe you're a revolutionary?
Oh.
Moron. I mean, really, these kids, I would like them to experience a little starving. They all look a little too privileged for my liking. And you know I don't like that word. I don't believe one of these people's ever actually sacrificed a damn thing. They probably are living off mommy or daddy or grandpa's money, right?
Uber Eats.
What a joke.
I met someone who had...
Actually, it's a human rights issue because I can't get my Uber Eats. A human rights issue.
I met somebody last year who, when he was in prison, he was one of the political prisoners. He was one of the people who were... in one of the longest hunger strikes.
Oh, yeah?
That was ever...
Was he thin?
He is still thin. But I think that's more genetics than his hunger strike.
Okay. All right,
They eventually had to, I think they had to hospitalize them. These kids should learn about that.
A hunger strike means you're actually prepared to die.
That's what these kids should be doing. No Uber Eats.
Right, correct. Jacob Zuma left us with free higher education to deal with. Cyril's going to leave us with basic income grants to deal with. Yeah, it's all these promises that these guys keep making to people. Mm. And then, you know, when they don't get what they've been promised, people get justifiably angry. But also, what did Margaret Thatcher say? The problem is you eventually run out of other people's money. And I'm afraid there just isn't any more. Tian Conradi says, Gareth, your interview with Eric Weinstein was excellent, top stuff. Thank you. Take a listen to that. It is on YouTube. Just look up Gareth Eric Weinstein. You'll find it quite easily. These kids should all be deported to Gaza so they can really know what it feels like to not have food and water. Begging for humanitarian aid at an expensive university is such bullshit. Spot on, Nikki.
Mm.
Yeah.
Eric was at the thing, came along with you to the
Thabo Mbeki lecture.
And I introduced him to Dr. Panile Khosla.
Oh, yes, the former statistician general. Very good.
Fascinating conversation that I stood next to with about the numbers? Two of them. Because they both have a maths background.
Yes.
Such a fascinating conversation, but unprompted. One of the things that, as we were leaving, one of the things that Dr. Panile Khosla said to him, similar to what he said at the podcast recording, is that what we need is we need a new human system. Because
What does that mean?
Everything else has failed because communism has failed. Capitalism is failing. We need a new way to organize community. And that's the exact same thing Dr. Panile Khosla said to him as the unprompted.
Okay, well, let's hope that we've got to get great people thinking about these things so they can make the decisions for the rest of us who are too busy about bread and butter issues to worry, right? Or to know the way forward. Okay, so a couple other things that I see going on one of these things I love on Twitter or wherever, usually on Instagram as well, is these guys who like push snowballs and big blocks of ice off bridges into water. I know it sounds ridiculous. This stuff is the most fun stuff to watch. You don't like that?
I've never seen it. It's not on my timelines.
My favorite thing. So there are also these people who drop stuff down like wells and holes, and then you listen for the sound of when it hits. I saw the weirdest video yesterday.
I have never seen that.
You come on.
I have
In
never seen
all kinds
that.
Of places, they find a hole that just seems like it goes on forever and ever. It could be like an old borehole or a well or... And then they drop shit in there, and you just hear it going, wee, boom, at the bottom. This doesn't give you any joy? You wouldn't want to watch this for hours and hours like I do?
Oh, my goodness.
I must be weird then, because it's me and a couple of thousand other people who love this stuff.
Okay.
And these obstacle courses.
Like Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, but like. They have two people at the start of an obstacle course, and then they have to jump over things, go under things, climb, have to run.
That I could
jump.
Watch. Like Ninja Warrior. That I could
that
watch.
That is fun,
for,
I'm telling
that
you.
That is fun.
So, I mean, between the hydraulic presses, the dropping things down holes, and the obstacle courses, I've got enough entertainment for the whole year. Do you know what I saw the other day? I mentioned this on the show on Monday, is the new Dune movie.
Oh, wow. How was it?
Very good. Very, very good. Love it. So that's another thing I caught up on during the course of the last few days. So it's been really busy, but I managed to find time to watch, you know, hydraulic press videos. So I'm okay. That not your idea of fun?
Hydraulic press videos.
I was thinking with yesterday being May Day, Workers' Day, I was thinking how many people just don't like to cook or, you know, make a big fuss for meals, and how many people do order takeaways on a day like yesterday. I'm sure it's higher than a normal day of the week, right? Because people are sitting at home and they're like, I could cook something, but actually, if I just grab this, I can do that and make it a lot easier for myself. I wonder if there's stats, and maybe someone from Uber Eats or Mr. Delivery or something can tell us.
Oh.
I'd be interested in whether or not the number of people ordering spikes completely on those days.
I almost fell into that that trap. I really struggled about making myself something to eat yesterday. Well, I really did.
It's like, so, you see, I don't understand. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who love cooking. It's part of it. It's like a ritual. And they're very good at it, most of them, right? They can make really interesting dishes. They love the idea of being in the kitchen and preparing it and doing it right and following a recipe and all of that stuff. And then there are people like me who just find it soul-destroying to make food. It gives me...
Soul-destroying.
I'll tell you why.
Soul-destroying.
Let me explain. So you go into the kitchen, you cook, you make a mess. Everything is like, there's stuff on the counters. If you cook something on a frying pan, there's oil everywhere. If you use the oven, someone has to clean that afterwards. You're throwing away packets. You're peeling onions. You're cutting up vegetables. Whatever it is, you're making a mess. And then you produce this amazing thing. Let's say it's amazing. Okay, I'm not a great cook, but let's say you produce something beautiful and people love it. And then 20 minutes later, it's all over. Done. Like, what was that? Gone. Right? Soul destroying. And even worse, you think about the fact that the product of your, the great product of your labors, of your slaving in front of a hot stove, will eventually just be in the gut of some ungrateful human.
I eventually did peel myself off the couch and made a baby spinach and mushroom pasta and sauce.
That sounds good, Pums. I won't lie.
But all of that is also quite... I'm stuck on the soul destroying because it's so...
It is soul destroying to me.
Oh, because for me, it is also a little bit meditative, right? So you're chopping, you're mixing the things together, and afterwards washing all the dishes, cleaning up, all of those things.
You find that part of the fun?
All of those things. And then to sit down with a good glass of wine and good food in the quiet... Because I'm by myself this week. Kanako's gone to his dad. So by myself my glass of wine and my pasta. It was wonderful. Isn't it,
come on. When you're eating on your own, you're sitting there at you sit at your dining room table?
Yes.
On your own?
Yes.
With your glass of wine and your pasta?
Yes.
Really? You've gone to this trouble.
There's probably a correlation to waking up when the alarm goes off first time. Those two things.
I just don't understand it. Like, you get people who love cooking and who love food, and you get people who really just do it because that's what you got to do to live. And I'm one of those latter category
people. So we should ask. We should ask the Uber Eats guys and Mr. I'm just sure there's some kind of...
Well,
they must have some interesting statistics about that.
The reason I ask is because on a public holiday, probably in, I think it was in March, there was Human Rights Day or something. I ordered some food and I realized that all the drivers were busy. There wasn't a driver available. Yeah.
What?
That's why I thought of it. I was like, okay, it's obviously a big day for them. So now we know. You guys are missing the fun part, the hunting and the skinning. Yeah, you see, I'm not interested in that part either. Your perspective of saying soul destroying must be attacked by people that cook. All right, well,
yeah.
Go for
soul
it.
Soul destroying.
So you eat out every day, you have too much money. No, I didn't say that. I just said it is, I did cook something yesterday, but it's not fun for me. It's just, you make a mess. I hate the mess. I hate the best thing for me is a tidy kitchen, and you only get that when no one's cooking. Right?
This is true. It's like being safe by not going out.
Judas says, never mind cooking. Yesterday I went out to a restaurant and found that eating can also be quite exhausting, especially when they serve you generously. Ooh.
What?
Where did
What's a problem to have? You know, this morning on my way here, I drove through Rosebank.
Yeah.
And drove past people who were just leaving the club. I haven't seen in a long time. There were people, they were like...
They must have been
Like girls in skimpy dresses.
Like, out on a Tuesday night.
Staggering off. Wednesday night. It was Wednesday night.
No, today's Thursday. So they were going out on a Wednesday night. Not even the public holiday.
It was 5:30 in the morning, people staggering out of that club.
Jesus.
Okay. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Okay, that I wasn't expecting to hear about either. But then, doesn't that just give you a, like, instant headache?
No.
I hate to be the least fun person in the world this morning, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because winter's here.
It did not. Yeah,
I am telling you now that this is just, if someone is walking out of a club at 5:30 in the morning, I'm like, I'd rather be at the bottom of the ocean.
Girls teetering on their heels, like with the greasy food and little, I was just like, oh. It didn't give me a headache, but
no,
it did make me feel hella old.
No, thank you.
It did make me feel hella, hella, hella old, which is also how I felt when I saw that Kendrick Lamar dropped another diss track.
Yes, now this is a big story. Okay, so here,
also made just brought me this. Feel so, old.
Kendrick Lamar's released a diss track along with fellow rap star. Well, this is about Drake, right? Escalating their long-running feud. It's called Euphoria, and the song is a response to weeks of taunting by Drake, who's taken pot shots at Lamar in a series of viral, horrible diss tracks. Over 6 minutes. Lamar calls Drake a manipulator and habitual liar and criticizes his parenting skills. Uh-huh.
You know that?
Oh, you did that. Criticized his parenting skills. He also accuses the Canadian star of selling out, saying that he's only making music to pacify fans and leaves listeners under no illusions about the strength of his feelings towards Drake. The rapper's feud began in 2013 when Lamar was a relative newcomer.
Dude. The chorus, the refrain,
yeah,
basically says, I hate you, I hate the way you walk, I hate the way you look, I hate
I just hate everything about you. Beautiful.
We all hate, and it's not just me, it's the game. I was just like, what? And I have been trying to stay out of this, like, rap civil war. I'm too old now to be in the rap civil war.
I must be honest with you. It used to be something I was interested in. There was a whole... See, when I got into rap music, it was still East Coast, West Coast feud.
Which because that's... We're older and we're used to rappers who were astute with their lyrics.
Right.
Who, when they got into a feud, which is what the 6 minutes of Kendrick Lamar is. I mean, the man is... well known for his lyricism is sure. Him. And I think the new hip hop fans, they didn't grow up with feud.
No.
So they grew up with rappers who only talked about how much money they had.
Well.
And how they dress and how the girls and
the littles.
So now they don't know how to compute what's happening. But this is hectic. Little hectic.
I kind of remember what a big deal it was when Eminem at the Grammys 1 year started like dissing all the pop stars. Right. And everybody was like, oh, how could you do that? But that was it had already been done for some time in the rap community.
Mm-hmm.
So he just brought it to the pop world, mm-hmm. started, you know, criticizing Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and all of those people because they were the big stars of the moment. But
the girlies.
I think rap has to be a bit like antagonistic.
Listen,
a little bit aggressive.
But it hasn't been. For so long, it's all been about bragging. It's all been about bragging about the money, the cars, the girls, the clothes. It's all been about bragging. And over the past couple of weeks, suddenly, people are just like, even Chris Brown. Chris Brown and Quavo. Kanaho was like, Mom, have you heard? I was like, what are you talking? Chris Brown is rapping? He's shit-talking people now.
So
it's a brave new world for all the new lovers of hip-hop.
I saw one other thing while we're talking about like pop culture and everything. Saw this very cool... It's one of those cartoons where everybody looks terrible and it's Taylor Swift and all of her fans. But it's dark. I mean, what they have is Travis Kelce, I think his name is, who's the guy who she's dating, right, is a football
player.
Is
that the, okay, yeah?
And he like mentions to one of the other players, just quietly, under his breath, he goes, I'm thinking of breaking up with Taylor. It's all in this cartoon. And then one of the women on the sideline, who's only there because she's a Taylor Swift fan, she's like, oh my God, he's going to break up with Taylor. And all of them are like these, what would you call them? Because, I mean, she's middle-aged now, right? She's not...
Taylor Swift.
Well, she's not a baby. She's in her 30s.
Is that middle-aged?
I don't know, but she's 30-something. She's still talking about, all her songs are about breaking up. And like she's, really, she needs to evolve to the next level. Anyway, this cartoon is funny because then they all attack this Travis Kelce guy and, you know, the Swifties. Is that what they call them? The Swifties all take out their fury.
She was born in 1989, Taylor Swift.
Right. So that would make her?
Wow.
She's in her 30s.
Yeah.
Right. And this cartoon is really just, it's horrible because she turns into this monster with like hooves and like a goiter, and then she attacks him and she sucks his soul out. And it, no, I mean, it's fantastic, but it's so dark.
You know what I miss?
Taylor Swift.
I'm, which was on MTV, I miss Celebrity Deathmatch.
I remember those. That was fun.
That's what we need, Celebrity Deathmatch. Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
So I just want to quickly go back to the kitchen thing and the cooking thing. Because
is somebody still talking about your salt destroying?
No. So Mapelo says, I don't know if I should be worried. When I chop stuff, I cut my fingers a lot. Deep cuts, but barely I bleed out and the cuts disappear within a day or two. So famously...
Wait, what?
He injures himself while chopping vegetables or whatever. But he says he heals quite quickly. So I have a complete aversion to cutting avos now because I very nearly lost two fingers to avos. I don't go near them now. Avocados, I won't cut. So the only time I'll ever have avo is when someone else is cutting it.
Oh my goodness.
Promise you, just won't do it. It's another reason not to go into the kitchen for me. Mapelo says, but it's a problem when I'm trying to donate blood. It barely comes out. Maybe you're anemic.
Oh, maybe he's anemic.
Yeah, you should go and have that checked out, dude. Maybe you're also some kind of, maybe you're a demon. Who knows?
Or some kind of Wolverine with like fast.
Yeah, like super fast healing.
Healing.
Sugar says that Taylor Swift would still be youth according to South African standards. Fair enough. But she's too old to be singing about like high school romance. Ready?
I don't know what Taylor Swift says about.
I don't either, but that's what I assume she does.
I don't even think I could recognize a Taylor Swift song.
Well, you wouldn't have to because they all sound exactly the same. You wouldn't. Then it's not great songwriting. In fact, I think it's all very much repetitive. But what amazes me is these fans of hers. They're obsessed with her. It's like...
Taylor's Swifties, yeah, and Beyonce's Beyhive.
Both groups of insane women. And mostly intense. Women. Like 99% women.
They are intense.
But they're intense because they have nothing else to live for.
Wow.
No, I don't mean that. That was a very totalitarian statement. Okay, they don't have nothing else to live for. Here's the fact. These people, just like the pro-Palestinian supporters in America who are on these college campuses, they don't have a purpose in life. Now, when people don't have a purpose that's greater than them, they don't have something to strive for, to believe in, to live their lives for, to make a difference in the world for, they find dumb shit to attach themselves to. So they can feel part of something because their worst fear is that they are meaningless, that they'll come and go, nobody will remember them. No one will mourn at their funeral. No one will write anything on their headstone at their grave. No one will care that they ever existed. So they're terrified of that outcome to the point where they will become devotees of Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Gaza, whatever else they can find, right? That's a big problem in the world today. We would be lying if we didn't acknowledge it. There are so many people who just feel like they make no difference. And the world would be exactly the same whether they were in it or not. You know, everybody has been lied to for the last 20 years in television. They've been told, you matter. You could be the best you imagine. And if you just try your best, if you just work really hard, you can make a difference. We will remember you. The world needs you. Actually, turns out it's not true. I mean, listen, these are what the kids call truth bombs.
Wow.
But they need saying. So
they need dropping.
I think really a lot of people just have to find some honest purpose in their lives. And if you're going to fight with someone on the internet about Beyonce because you're in the Bayhive, or you're going to get cross with me for saying that Taylor Swift's fans are worthless, it's probably because you're in that group, and it's probably because you also don't have a whole lot going on.
Yo, there's a lot of fighting on the internet. That kind of fighting on the internet, you know this, bots.
Horrific.
Bots.
Yeah, but these are also people, Pumi. It's not just
we
bots.
We have our own devotees of organizations on our internet that go off. So, yeah, got it.
She is not. Christian says she's not a good model for women. How many boyfriends has she had? This is Taylor Swift now.
Apparently, why do you know this information?
Apparently, Taylor Swift sued or threatened to sue a guy who's been tracking her private jets. The amount of emissions she causes is astronomical. There's a video of the flights she took in 2023. It's crazy. Well, she has to get to her concerts. Her fans need her. So she's going to fly in her private jet, right? Paul says, I still think rap is for guys who can't put a melody together, hence the anger. Rap is crap. No way. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stand up for rap. There's some excellent, excellent rap music.
Paul,
I've always thought
your mic is off. Paul, your mic is off.
I also think that people like Kendrick Lamar are real poets. These guys are writing stuff which it is a pleasure to hear delivered properly.
Listen, that euphoria, the backtrack of which is Teddy Pendergrass, greatest inspiration.
Right.
Even just that double entendre, right, of playing on Drake, this is going to be like an opus of me dissing you because you are going to be my greatest inspiration in this moment. Is like, it's something special, something absolutely special. And to be even, one of my other favorite rappers is Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, same here.
Because of his ability to rhyme on a syllable continuously. He can have an entire 3 minute and 30 second track and it's just rhyming on the E.
Yeah, very clever.
Oh, yeah.
Very clever.
Oh, come on.
And I mean, Busta Rhymes is fast as well.
Yeah.
He can really rap fast. Okay, so just go to Cheesy who says here, hi, Bo Gareth. Are you really comparing following pop stars to people starving and dying? Okay, no, hang on. I mean
what,
the people...
What?
Okay, so I think because I said pro-Palestinian supporters, so let me be clear about this. I'm talking about college kids in America who are locking themselves up in halls of residence or administration buildings and making encampments on college like lawns and think that they're sacrificing something for a cause. I'm putting those people in the same category as Taylor Swift and Beyonce fans. Yes, I am. It's the same thing. It's, please notice me. Please pay attention to me. Please listen to what I have to say. Nobody cares about me, and I'm hoping you will. Please. That's what it is. It's exactly the same thing. Do not forget, says Zama, correctly, to like and subscribe. That's what we're here for. We only do it for the likes and subscribes. That's, you know, we're drug addicts, and that's our fix. Yeah. Give us some more like and subscribes. Otherwise, what the hell are we going to have to do here? People in South Africa, says Azalea, had the same reaction to the Melinda Ferguson interview on AKA and Anele. Did you? I didn't really pay attention to that. Tell me about that.
I think it was on MacG. So Melinda Ferguson.
Yes. Author.
Has written Has written a book after like interviewing people, whatever, which has some explosive truths, she says. And one of them is that AKA did push Anele.
Ooh, out of the hotel.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And something about him, like ordering a tequila afterwards. So as she lay there dying, because he never went out to like check in on her. Explosive stuff. But lots of stuff which I think will come out over the next 10 years as we watch the trial.
Well, you know, I mean, now that both of them are dead, I suppose no one will ever really know what happened in that room.
Yeah. No one will know what happened in that room, but we will watch a very much like the Senzo Meyiwa trial. We will watch for the next however long. We will watch a drawn-out trial that's farcical at best. But Melinda's book and her interview, she talks about all of these things and makes all of these allegations. And online, the bots, the fans, they went wild. People who were like for AKA, people who were for Anele. But what that interview, what I saw of the interview, I didn't watch the whole thing, also then brought back and gave more credence to the story that the death of AKA was a revenge killing.
Ooh. Okay, well, we're not going to know what happened in the room, but there's going to be speculation forevermore about what might have gone on after, before. There are going to be stories from family and friends. There are going to be loads of people who have plenty to say about it. Of course, most of them will be talking complete nonsense they've manufactured in their own heads. Trimby's standing up for young people who are trying to have a cause today, saying it's not unlike our generation. My generation, the 80s, had Michael Jackson in pop culture and imminent nuclear holocaust. Okay, sure. And there were the Beatles before that, Beatlemania. And there was lots of other stuff. So people always have their thing. But it comes from the same place. It's like, I need to be part of something. I don't feel like I have
something
a purpose.
Bigger than myself.
Right.
And I think, though, the difference now is because we have access, because everybody's got this megaphone that is their social media. And we've blurred the line between what's happening in your own brain, in your bedroom, with your idol and your posters on the wall,
sure,
to being blasted into everybody else's space, everybody else's timeline. And one thing can snowball and snowball and snowball. Before, when you had your Michael Jackson poster on your door and you were blasting your ghetto blaster loud, that's you and your friends congregating. Now it's in everybody's face. And the fact that I think the difference also is that we now have such intolerance for other people. Where before, you could like what you liked and I liked what I liked and that's it. Now, I hate the fact that you don't like what I like and you like something else, something different.
And how dare I?
Why don't you like what I like?
Right.
Why are we not all liking the same thing? How dare you?
I would love to have joined in that conversation when it happened, but my alarm clock didn't go off because Apple software needs a reboot or something. Melinda's playing with fire, says Tabopali. Well, she's not afraid to write things. I mean, and write things that upset people. She's done this before.
What would happen to her?
Oh, well, she's an author, but you know, I think some people, they assume that there's, you know, it's more dangerous if you criticize famous people, or if you say something that the famous people are going to get someone to kill you. I don't know. The real story is that MK, the political party, is in tatters at the moment. Nobody knows who's in charge. Some people have been fired. Some people are being apparently tapped on the shoulder and told that there's a hit on them.
I have a video of Vivson. I don't know how you say his name. Vivson.
I don't know.
Vivson Reddy.
Yeah, I also don't know.
Singing, So Dibana Nge Freedom Day. But he's also doing the
Jacob Zuma thing.
Move. And I'm just like, oh, Nkosi.
Can do without that.
Guys, today is the 2nd of May. It is the 2nd of May, which means we are 27 days away from voting. We have a long 27 days to go.
Absolutely.
It's going to be long.
Well, it is the ANC's turn in just a little while on the Burning Platform. This is their chance to come and plead their case. And we were going to speak to Panyaza Lesufi. Instead, we have his spokesperson. And this is the ANC's day.
Is he coming into the studio?
Should hope so. He'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. CliffCentral.com has become, in 10 years, the real network. We're celebrating yesterday 10 years of what was CliffCentral.com. What is now which the is real network? Ah, oh, Pumi's look. She's be. Ah, oh, Pums, I like that. That's
which
very
is why
sweet.
I was in my Cliff Central commemoration t-shirt.
There we go. So it's also a brand new month, and it's also the start of winter officially, which upsets the hell out of me. Hate myself
some
winter.
Don't be upset.
No, I do. Can't stand it. All right. That's us for this first hour. We'll be back in just a moment with the Burning Platform. Don't go anywhere.